Amen. So let me quickly share a Christmas exhortation with you titled The Seven Things the Birth of Jesus Tells Me About You. So you appear in the birth of Jesus, and I want to share them with you. Luke chapter 2 verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. See, the Savior was not born to anybody but to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So a Savior has been born to you. Do you know that if you were the only man on earth, only woman on earth, Jesus would still have been born in order to become your Savior? Amen. Now, no matter what you are going through, Jesus can save you. It is for your salvation that he was born. He was born for the salvation of your marriage, for the salvation of your children, for the salvation of your business, for the salvation of your finances, but more importantly, for the salvation of your soul, which is crucial and very important. But here are seven things that this birth tells me about you. Number one, your parents were but only a channel through which God delivered you to this world. Do not let that become your challenge in life. Matthew 1 verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Before they came together, he was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Hey, what a spirit. Pregnant with the Holy Spirit. What a spirit. But in this scripture, Jesus' parents have been introduced. Mary, the mother, a teenage, uneducated, unemployed, unskilled young lady, engaged to a carpenter. Now there are a lot of rich carpenters, but during those days, a carpenter was a manual laborer. Okay? So the parents of Jesus were poor. Joseph himself was uneducated, unskilled. He was a laborer. And the mother was also unschooled. And Mary was actually a teenager. And yet, they gave birth to the greatest man that ever walked on the surface of the earth. Who gave birth to you is not an excuse for failure. You cannot justify your failure because the person who gave birth to you was not successful. Your father's vices should not become your value. Your mother's failure should not become your finishing line. The absence of a father in your life must not be your disadvantage. Because the reason why you were born is bigger than who gave birth to you. Do you understand? Your father may not have been there to name you. Your father may have rejected you. You may have been raised alone. Don't let that scar you. Don't let that hurt you. Don't carry that pain on you. One time I was talking to a woman in the U.S. and she was very bitter that the man she had a child with had abandoned her and the son. And I said, how old is your son? He has already gotten into his teenage. How has he become? He's so old. He has become a nice young man, a God-fearing young man. Oh, he says, Bishop, this boy really loves the Lord. I said, yes, it's because God didn't want the man to interfere with the raising and the upbringing of that boy. So let that father, let that mother not become your ceiling. It doesn't take good parents to raise good children. I know bishops whose children are drug addicts. And I know drug addicts whose children are bishops. Do you understand? So you are not disadvantaged because you were not born by a lawyer or by a judge. Haven't you seen a lawyer whose child is in prison? And haven't you seen a prisoner whose child is a lawyer? Haven't you seen guys who were born in broken homes and have vowed that what I went through because my father married two or three, I am not going to divorce. I'm going to stay in this family and raise my children. So who gave birth to you must not be a challenge for you. Let the pain against your parents go. Let the disappointment against your parents go. And rise up. You have your own destiny. Jesus was born by a carpenter, but he was born to be a savior. He was not also born to be a carpenter. He was born to be a savior. The mother was unschooled, yet he was born to be a savior. You can be better than your parents. You can be greater than your parents. And every good parent wishes that their children will become better than them. I want Pastor Titi Ofe to be 10 times bigger than me. I want him to take this church and lift it to the next level. I don't want people to refer to him as this is Bishop Titi Ofe's son. I want people to refer to me that this is Pastor Titi Ofe's father. I was talking to my daughter. We were standing together when people saw, I said, hey, now you are looking like your mother. And she was excited that she was looking like her mother. And I said, you should be more excited if people tell you that you are no, more anointed than your mother. You love God more than your mother. You must desire to be greater than who gave birth to you. Your father's finishing line must not become your finishing line. Your father's failure must not become a justification for your failure. I see a man born by nobody becoming somebody. I see a woman born by nobody becoming a somebody. Am I prophesying to only 10 people here? Who am I talking to? I'm talking to someone here. Your parents divorced, you are not going to divorce. Your father was a drunkard, you are not going to be a drunkard. Your father never built a house, you are going to build an estate. Your mother married multiple men, you are going to stick with one man. Your father hurt your mother, your husband will make you happy. Something good is about to happen to you. You will not perpetuate the failure of your parents. The sins of your fathers will not have effect on you. In the name of Jesus, the curse upon your father will not be upon you. You will enjoy the blessings of Abraham. You will enjoy the blessings of Abraham and enjoy the favor of Esther. In the name of Jesus, the covenant your father made will not affect you negatively. Oh, you are coming out of that family as the greatest person ever born. The stone the builders rejected will become the chief cornerstone. There is a man rising above his father. There is a man rising above his father. There is a man rising above his father. Your father's story must not become your suffering. Your father's story must not become your suffering. Let the bitterness go. Forgive that man. Forgive that woman. And move on with your life. Better days are ahead. Greater things are ahead. In the name of Jesus. Oh, number two, your birthplace does not define your destiny nor your place in history. Luke chapter 2, 9. Let's look at 11 and 12. Today, in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is a sign to you. This is a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. Oh, like if somebody announces that today a savior, an angel came and said, today a savior has been born. The next thing you want to hear is that he is in the palace. You will find the savior in the palace. You will find the savior in a big house. But this time they say you will find the savior wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger oda odwanbuom lying in the manger. The man who was born in the manger has cathedrals named after him. He was never born in a house. He was not born in a glass house. Yet, Glory Dome in Nigeria, 10,000 seater belongs to him. St. Peter's Basilica belongs to him. The ark that the Bishop Oyedepo is building to sit 150,000 people, it will be the biggest building in the world, belongs to Jesus. Oh, Prayer Cathedral belongs to Jesus. The Oil Dome belongs to Jesus. Yet he was born in a manger. Oh, the place where you were born must not determine your place in history. Amen. When Mami Sawa was little, we drove to Mommy's village. And Mommy showed Mami Sawa where she went to school. And Mami Sawa asked Mommy, why were your parents poor? Because that school building, if you saw it, you won't believe that Mommy would be the first lady of this church. But here she is. Wow. Born in a manger, yet has become a wonder. Born in the humblest of places, yet sits on the highest throne. Today, he is the greatest man in history. But yet, he was born in a manger. Oh, I've seen people that were raised in baby cots. $5,000 baby cots. $10,000 baby cots. Today, they are in prison. Oh, they are in prison. Do you see my son who just sang, Pastor Titi Ofer? Do you know where we raised him? When we had him, was very, very little. And we were told to put him by the sun every morning. And we had a curtain. You see the old milk curtain? Oh, we had it. And in Tumago, racks. And we would put him in it. That was the only thing we could afford. No baby cot. So Pastor Titi Ofer was raised in milk curtain. The curtain of milk. Empty curtain of milk. In the morning, Mommy and I would carry him. When we were too little, this thing, 20, I was 25 then, and you were 23, and we had a baby, and the baby was premature, small like the size of my palm. And we'll carry this baby in the curtain and go and put him in the sun. And then when the sun is gone, we'll carry him back in there in our hot, uncompleted building. Today, look at him, how he loves the Lord, how he worships the Lord. Oh, recently I went to see his new house. Oh, what a place. What a place. You won't believe that a man born into a milk curtain will be constructing that building. Oh, I said, son, your community is better than my community. But he has to be better than his father. He has to be greater than his father. It doesn't matter where you were born. Something is about to happen. Kwame Nkrumah was born in a village without light, without electricity. And his mother was uneducated. Yet Kwame Nkrumah became the millennial man of Africa. The last 1,000 years, when you put all the men in Africa together, the one who became the best man in the whole of Africa was born in a village without electricity and without water. The fact that you were born in a village without light does not mean you cannot become the light of the world. You can become the light of the world. What makes you the light of the world is the favor of God. And that favor is upon your life right now. That favor is upon your life right now. Can I hear the light of the world shouting, I am the light of the world? Amen. Number three, the birth of Jesus tells me that you are a star, not dimmed by your current situation. Matthew chapter 2, 1 and 2, from the New Living Translation. Look at this. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. Oh, I think they walked past where he was born. Because once they saw a star, they thought they were going to a big house. But that star was lying in a manger. The fact that you live in a kiosk today does not mean you are not a star. Does not mean you are not a star. The fact that you have not been to school does not mean you are not a star. The fact that you are divorced today does not mean you are not a star. In fact, stars shine better in darkness. It is when the sun is gone and there is no competition and darkness appears, that is where you see the stars. Oh, your star is shining. You are not going to become a star. You are already a star. You need darkness to shine through the star, through the darkness. The things around you, your situation today does not look like you are a star. But what makes you a star is not that situation. What makes you a star is an anointing upon your life. Am I prophesying to a star here? Shout loud and say, I am a star. Shout loud and say, arise and shine. For you are a star. Say to yourself, oh my soul. Say it better, oh my soul. Arise and shine. For you are a star. Say 2024. A star is appearing. 2024. A star is coming. 2024. I am standing out because I am a star. Oh, how many stars are here? How many stars are here? Give the Lord praise for your life. If you believe you are a star, give him all the praise. 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 Among my mother's children, I was the ugliest. Oh, yes. I still think I can't compete with any of them now. I was the ugliest. I was the one who could neither read nor write at the age of 10. I told the story of how my big brother wanted to have mercy on me to teach me how to spell. And you know, when you are young like that, you like food. So he seized my lunch and put it beside him and said, Kofi, spell food. Then he said, food. Kofi, look at my mouth. Look at my mouth. Food. Kofi, food. So now spell food. I said, K. He took my food, gave it back to me. Said, Kofi, what Jimmy Papa? But today, I am a star. At the time I could not spell, I was still a star. And I'm still a star. That's the same thing that is happening to you now. Those who will despise you will regret. Those who will look down upon you will regret. Those who will reject you will regret. Oh, my God. The reason why I despise no man, I look down on no man, is because of my old story. When I came to this land, those who despised me, those who looked down upon me, are today regretting. They are looking for opportunity to see me. And my protocol is telling them he's not available. Oh, how God made stars. Number four, God's purpose, the birth of Jesus teaches me that God's purpose will prevail over the plans of men against you. Over the plans of men against you. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, and then verse 7, then verse 12 to 13, reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. People are disturbed that you are still alive. People are disturbed that you are a pleasantite. Oh, now look at verse 7. Then King Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star appeared. Verse 12, when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God has warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Because Herod had an evil plan to kill Jesus. Verse 13, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, Jesus' father, in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. The angel said, stay here until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Wow. When they saw he was a star. Sometimes people are threatened by your stardom and they want to eliminate you. But God always will have a way of escape. Do you know what this teaches me? That it's not every battle you must fight. Sometimes some battles you must look for a way of escape. You must look for where. It is not everything you must wait. You must wait your bullets on. I pray for you. Let every Herod looking to slaughter you and kill you before your time, may their plans backfire. Proverbs 19 verse 21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. The purpose of God will prevail for you. The plan in a man's heart against you will not succeed. Those who are laughing and smiling with you, yet in their heart, they have plans against you. That says the Lord unto you, his purpose will prevail in your life. His purpose will prevail in your life. His purpose will prevail in your life. Shout the loudest, amen. Number five, the birth of Jesus tells me that you are a carrier of something bigger than you. You are a carrier of something bigger than you. Luke 1, 31 to 34, you will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? How can this happen? I am a virgin. How can this happen? How can this happen? Sometimes when we prophesy on you, you ask yourself, how is this possible? How can this happen? How can this happen? You see, if Mary's small womb carried the whole world's savior, the whole world's king, the whole world's prince, if his small womb could carry it, I can only imagine what the womb of your spirit is carrying right now. You are going to give birth to something that is bigger than you. You are going to give birth to a business that is bigger than you. You are going to give birth to a dream that is bigger than you. You are a carrier of a whole destiny. I declare upon you that whatever you are carrying in the realms of the spirit will manifest in the upcoming year. May the Lord help you to manifest that dream. You are a carrier of something. Your womb is carrying something. The womb of your biological womb, your mental womb is carrying something. If Mary could give birth to Jesus, then I know that you are a carrier of something. And you are about to give birth to something. Amen. Something bigger than you can ever imagine. Number six. Whatever you conceive, you will give birth to it. Luke 1, verse 31. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will conceive and give birth. It is not every conception that leads to childbirth. People get pregnant and they miscarry the baby. But for you, when you conceive, you will give birth to that baby. Oh, several years ago, 2004, I conceived the dream of a university. By 2010, I have given birth to that university. I pray for you. I pray and I decree and I speak upon you. You will not be barren in the coming year. And you will not miscarry in the coming year. Whatever you conceive, you will carry to term and you will give birth. If you believe, can I hear your loudest amen? Exodus 23 verse 26 says this, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. Oh, may God give you a full lifespan. May God give your dream a full lifespan. that dream to build that business, may God give it a full lifespan. May it never die along the way. In the name of Jesus, any dream you are carrying, I declare and decree as a prophetic voice over your life, as a set man in your life, that dream will enjoy a full lifespan. In the name of Jesus. Oh yes, some conceptions are taking place now. In the next 9 months, you will celebrate the birth of a dream. You will celebrate something big. You will celebrate something big. If you miscarry this year, next year, you will not miscarry. You will conceive and give birth. You will conceive and give birth. You will conceive and give birth. Women here believing God for babies, you will conceive and give birth. Men here who are looking for babies to cry in their homes, I declare and I decree and I speak to you, you will conceive and give birth. Your wife will conceive and give birth. A baby will cry in your house. A year by this time, a baby will cry in your house. 9 months from today, a baby will cry in your house. I will come to your house and name your baby. Those of you who are taking seed of dreams, of visions, of aspirations, I prophesy on you. In the coming year, I will come and open that business. I will come and dedicate that business. I will come and dedicate that office in the name of Jesus. Ha 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 ha. Oh, I know in my spirit, that something is taking place. You are in the labor ward right now. You are having an intimate connection with the Holy Ghost. And a conception is taking place. As I speak God's word, a seed is planted in your womb, in the womb of your spirit, in the womb of your biological body. Your biological womb is receiving a seed of a baby. Your mental womb is receiving a seed of an idea. Oh God, finally, when food is waiting for people, you don't talk much. Oh, even if you are prophesying, you have to cast out the prophecy so that they can go and eat. Oh, number seven. The birth of Jesus tells me that the Holy Spirit within you will empower you to achieve the impossible. Luke 1, 34 and 35. How would this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. So it is impossible for a virgin to become pregnant. But look at the answer of the angel. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, our faith in Him. Oh, yes. Our church was in a wooden structure when I kept telling people I would build a university. I sold my Passat and I was taking Trotro. And yet I kept telling people I would build a university. I had only diploma in theology then. I still kept telling people I would build a university. Because when the Holy Ghost overshadows you, nothing becomes impossible. Everything becomes possible. I declare and decree, may the Holy Ghost overshadow you. May the Holy Ghost overshadow you. When the Holy Ghost overshadows you, it is possible that you can become a president. It is possible that you can become a minister of state. It is possible that you can become an MP. It is possible that you can become a millionaire. It is possible that you can become a billionaire. Oh, let the Holy Ghost overshadow you. Let the Holy Ghost overshadow you. With God, all things are possible. Luke 1, 37. For with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. My last born, Titibia, when she was little, was learning ballet. And she was supposed to stretch until she sits down with her legs stretched. And she was doing it, and she was suffering. And she has come home, she was practicing. And as a father who loves a daughter, I kept saying, Titibia, you hurt yourself. Stop. That year, our team was nothing is impossible. She looked at me and said, Daddy, nothing is impossible. I will make it happen. Nothing is impossible. Finally, I saw my daughter, now with her legs straight, sitting down. She said, Daddy, I told you that nothing is impossible. Can I leave this with you in your spirit? That nothing is impossible. When you are overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, nothing is impossible. All things become possible. All things become possible. All things become possible. All things become possible. When we move to this area in a small, on a small land, and we put up our first building, I kept telling the people in church, I will buy lands here. I will convert this area into a university area and into a church area. I kept telling them I had no money. I was using one suit, but I kept telling them. Today, what I said has become a reality. Guess what? I'm beginning the drawing for something I called the Salvation Enclave. At the heart of the Salvation Enclave is a 12-floor chapel. And the lowest, the shortest building will be 7th floor. And a lot of buildings at the Salvation Enclave. Because with God, all things are possible. I am overshadowed by the power of the Holy Ghost. When a man who is anointed is speaking, listen to him. When a man who is anointed is speaking, don't challenge it. Don't criticize it. Rather, connect to the anointing. Don't be envious. Rather, connect to the anointing. Tell the next person, don't be envious of me when I'm speaking. Because every word I say is prophetic. Because I am anointed. Because I am commissioned. Because I am ordained. Because I am consecrated. And heaven is behind me. Say, see me tomorrow. I will be a sign and a wonder. Say, I am the greatest thing that will ever happen. Say, very soon, you will put on your CV that you sat beside me in church. Give the Lord praise. I pray for you that the word of the Lord will become a reality. I pray for you that every prophetic word I've released today will manifest in your life in 2024. I decree that in 2024, you will be a sign and a wonder. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It is done. If you believe, shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen.